Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
All right, well, it was in the year 1739 that Charles Wesley penned the words of the Christmas hymn that we just sang. Hark the herald angels sing. I want to repeat some of those lyrics for you again. What we just sing, I want you to know is some of the richest truths of Christianity. For example, Christ, by highest heaven adored. Christ, the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell. Jesus, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us, and that's what happened when Jesus came. God came to be with us. In that Christmas hymn, we have transcendence. We have eternality. We have fulfilled prophecy. We have incarnation. We have immanence. God is transcendent and he is near. He is eternal, yet he is Emmanuel. And all the prophecies of Scripture point to this time of year that we celebrate when Jesus came, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago and predicted even hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus Christ. It's the foundational doctrine of the Christian faith, and it is worth understanding. And it's a doctrine worth remembering, and it's a doctrine worth cherishing. And I'm praying for us. I'm praying for us that this season, yet again, we are faced with the opportunity to understand and to cherish the truth of the incarnation. And I say that because if we're not intentional, some of us, maybe most of us, will be taken yet again with the many distractions, often good and right things, but many distractions that surround and snuff out the miracle and meaning of what we're celebrating. So as we get ready to talk about the incarnation, here's my challenge for you. Be intentional not to be distracted. Now, some of us will be distracted by the stuff, the Christmas trees and the Christmas presents and the Christmas lights and the consumerism and the malls and Amazon. Some of us are going to be distracted by the stuff, and there will be little to no focused worship. We need to be intentional. Some of us will be distracted by the ministry. You say, that's a good thing. Yes, it is a good thing, but not good to be distracted by the ministry away from focused worship. The outreaches, the services, the Christmas offering, all of that may be good and right for sure, but all of that may be without genuine focused worship. Some of us will be distracted by the burdens. The burdens. Do you have any burdens today? Many of us are distracted by the burdens of our current cultural climate. Many of us are distracted by the rocky economic outlook. Many of us are distracted and burdened by the direction of world governments. Burdens. Burdens that you carry. And some of us are distracted by our wayward teenagers. Some of us are burdened by our uncertain future. You may be burdened by your rocky marriage or your rapidly changing circumstance. If we're honest with ourselves, we know that in this room today, there are many, many burdens, many different kinds. Be intentional. Today we're going to be starting a three-part series entitled Incarnation, What Christmas Means for Me. And just like in the first century Jewish context that Jesus was born into, we are praying and expecting that the light that dawned then will shine more brightly than ever before now. For the many important things happening in our lives, for the many important things happening in our church, for the many important things happening in our world, that they would all find their proper place and perspective and purpose in light of the advent of the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity this season to be intentional. We have an opportunity to be awakened. We have an opportunity for our eyes to be lifted off the many things that distract us and to be captivated, maybe for the first time, by the power and the beauty and the glory of the doctrine of the Incarnation. The reality that Jesus Christ left his eternal throne and came to us. And I'm praying so much. Would you be praying right now that your heart is awakened to this truth that maybe you know so well? I want you to take your Bible, please, and turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, you can put up your hand, and one of the ushers at the back would love to put a copy of God's Word into your hands. And if you don't own a Bible, that Bible will be our gift to you. We'd love you to take it home and read it and have your life changed by it. John chapter 1. We're going to read the first part of verse 14, and we're going to draw some tremendous truth from John 1 verse 14. Here's what the Bible says in John 1:14. It says this: "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's all I'm going to read today. Can we grab truth from this one verse? Can we get a sermon out of this one verse? I'm telling you, we can. Before we jump into John 1:14 and unpack it, we need to understand that this is probably the clearest description of the doctrine of the Incarnation in the whole Bible. But before we jump into unpacking the truth and drawing the truth out of this short text, I want us to get a definition of incarnation so we all know what we're talking about. On the screen for you is a definition. Incarnation. What are we talking about? Incarnation, it's a word used to explain how the second member of the Trinity entered into human history in flesh as the God-man, Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to read that one more time. Incarnation is the word used to explain how the second member of the Trinity entered into human history in flesh as the God-man, Jesus Christ. In other words, incarnation is the word used to describe how God came to be with us by becoming like us without ever ceasing to be God. This is fascinating truth. That God came to be with us by becoming like us without ever ceasing to be God. The truth of the Incarnation, filled with hope for us and for the world. So if you're taking notes, here's point number one for today. Incarnation hope. Hope. Incarnation hope. Point number one is this: for everyone longing for a miracle. For everyone longing for a miracle. Notice verse 14 of John 1 again. It says, "And the Word became flesh." I want you to notice right away the word, Word. I want you to notice that Word is capitalized in John 1:14. I want you to understand that it refers to a person. The Word is a person, and the Word became flesh. What did this Word do? Notice it. This Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us. When John uses the word Word, the context of John 1 shows us that he's talking about the second member of the Trinity. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But as good Bible students, you should ask yourself the question, why doesn't he just say Jesus Christ? Why does he use the word, word? Well, the word was a concept you need to understand in Hebrew theology, and it was a concept in Greek philosophy. To the Hebrews, for example, the word of God signified the very presence and action of God. To the Greeks, the concept of the word conveyed the idea that the world was governed by a universal intelligence. And so John strategically uses the concept of the word to be loyal to the Hebrew heritage of the Old Testament, all the while working to be a missionary in the wider context that was dominated by Greek philosophy. He wants to teach something about Jesus Christ. He wants to teach something about the incarnation. He wants to teach something about the eternality of God through Jesus Christ. One commentator wrote this. He wrote, John begins with a declaration that both Hebrews and Greeks would have agreed with, that before the creation of the world and time, the Word, capital W, existed eternally. He then scandalizes both groups by stating that Jesus is the Word and was with the one and only God. John then explains that the Word, capital W, is not merely the invisible force of the Greeks or the agent of God's actions for the Hebrews, but a person in whom is life and light for men. So when John says, the Word became flesh, he's announcing emphatically right at the outset of his gospel that the creator and sustainer of the universe and the power and the presence and the actions of God are together bound up in this human being named Jesus Christ. And this, loved ones, is a profound miracle. And if you grew up in church and you've lost the awe of the miracle of the incarnation, I'm praying that God gives it to you. And if you're used to celebrating Christmas from a Christian perspective, and maybe today you've lost your awe, I have been praying that God gives you a sense of wonder and amazement and worship. This is a profound miracle that we are celebrating. On the screen for you, J.I. Packer said this. He said, the incarnation is more of a miracle, listen, than the resurrection, because in it, somehow, a holy God and sinful humanity are joined, yet without the presence of sin. Nothing, Packer says, in fiction is so fantastic as this truth of the incarnation. In Jesus, God enters the human realm. He walks on water, calms storms, heals sick, feeds the hungry, raises the dead, and conquers the grave. The incarnation, a profound miracle. In theology, this miraculous joining of humanity and deity has a name, and I don't want you to be intimidated by this name. I want you to learn it. It's called the hypostatic union. You know what? Let's try that together. I want you to repeat after me. The hypostatic union. Say it. I think you got it. Let's say it one more time. Hypostatic union. Repeat it. Okay, awesome, awesome. What exactly is meant by the hypostatic union? This is so important. If we're going to understand who Jesus is and have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you have to understand this. So, what exactly is meant by the hypostatic union? Two things very briefly. You can jot this down. It's on the screen. Hypostatic union. Jesus Christ has two natures, humanity and deity. Jesus Christ has two natures, humanity and deity. It means that in the incarnation, in God becoming a man, the everlasting, eternal deity of Jesus Christ was miraculously and mysteriously joined together with the humanity of Jesus Christ. Think about the miracle. On the screen for you, Colossians 1:19 says, "In him, in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." And at the very same time, we know that Jesus experienced all that was common to humankind. He was God and he was man. We know that Jesus experienced birth, of course, growth, exhaustion, sleep, hunger, thirst, sorrow, weeping, temptation. He experienced all of this in his humanity, all without sinning. This is the first thing you need to understand about the incarnation, the joining of humanity and deity, that Jesus has two natures, mysteriously and miraculously, humanity and deity. The second thing I want you to understand is this: Jesus is not two persons. Both natures are mysteriously and miraculously united in one person. Now, just before we go on, why am I rehearsing this for you? I'm not rehearsing this so that we can all have big theologically rich heads, so we can walk around with our heads all wobbling like this, like we know stuff. No, I'm giving this to you so that you can leave this service and say, "God, you are amazing," so that we can worship him. Okay? Jesus is not two persons. Both natures are miraculously and mysteriously united in one person. All right? This means that the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, took on flesh, giving him two natures that are without confusion, without change, without division, and without separation. In other words, Jesus Christ is 100% God, and Jesus Christ is 100% man. He is not two people divided into two natures. He is one with both natures united in one person. On the screen for you, Isaiah 9:6 predicts the birth of Jesus Christ with perfect precision, announcing this joining of deity and humanity. It says, "For to us a child is born." Notice that is an emphasis of his humanity. And then Isaiah the prophet says, "To us a son is given." That's an emphasis on his deity. And it says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, this is the miracle of the incarnation. And this is the mystery of the hypostatic union, deity and humanity united together in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very important for us to understand. But not only for a right Christology, not only for a right understanding of who Jesus is, not only for a right understanding of our justification, not only for a right understanding to be saved, but also, I want you to know, this is for you today, if you are saved, in your journey of sanctification. Because here's the truth of the matter. Many of us, are facing very real challenges and hardships in our lives. And some of us feel like no one understands, and you're struggling. You're struggling immensely because you're going through some things and you feel like no one understands. What hope is there for you? Well, I'll tell you, there's incarnation hope. Because Jesus Christ is fully man, notice on the screen, Hebrews 4:15, it says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Because Jesus Christ is fully man, Jesus Christ really understands what you are facing today. He really does. He really understands. He sympathizes with you. The Bible says, as we just read, we have a great high priest who's not separated up there, unable to sympathize. He sympathizes. He understands. That contains incarnation hope for you today. If you're going through some hard things and you feel like no one understands, here's the truth. Jesus understands. And if no one else on the face of the earth will ever understand, there is one who is calling to you today, who says, I understand. Come to me. You who are weary and heavy laden, come to me. I understand what you're going through. But others of us are going through some hard stuff too, but we know he understands. Some of us are thinking, yeah, I know he understands, but that's not my issue. My struggle is whether or not I'm actually going to get through this thing. Well, some of you here feel like, I get it, he understands, but that's not my issue. My issue is, am I going to actually get through this struggle? What hope is there for you? Well, I'll tell you, because Jesus Christ is fully man, he understands what you're facing. But listen, because Jesus Christ is fully man, fully God, he can actually do something about your situation. Because he is fully God. The very next verse on the screen, Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, watch this, that we may receive mercy and find grace to do what? To help in times of need. Here is some incarnation hope for you today. Those of you that are going through a hardship and you feel like no one understands, Jesus Christ fully man understands. Those of you that are sitting here saying, I don't know if I'm ever going to get through this, Jesus Christ, fully God, he is able to get you through it. Because he is not only fully man, he is fully God. So loved ones, everyone, and people all over the world, people everywhere, whether they articulate it or not, today are longing for a miracle. And you may feel it will take a miracle to find a spouse. And deep in your heart, maybe you wouldn't articulate it that way, but deep in your heart, you're thinking, I need a miracle. Or you may feel it will take a miracle to have a child. You haven't articulated it that way, but that's how you feel. Or maybe you feel it will take a miracle to bring your prodigal child back home. Or maybe you feel it will take a miracle for our country to correct course. So many are longing for a miracle. Here's what I want you to know. In the incarnation, in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you who are longing for a miracle, you have one. You have one. The miracle of the incarnation. And it is in the miracle of the incarnation that, as the Christmas hymn says, all our hopes and fears intersect. All our hopes fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And all our fears dispelled in Jesus Christ. And so for all who are longing for a miracle, grab a hold of the one that is the miracle of this season. All your hopes and all your fears intersect in this one miracle. And whatever it is you are longing for, you find all that you need in him and the perspective that you need in him and the power that you need for your situation in him. Incarnation, hope for everyone longing for a miracle. Finally, there's incarnation hope, not only for everyone longing for a miracle, but this now, for everyone looking for meaning. For everyone looking for meaning. Purpose. What is the meaning of this season? What does it mean for me? What is the meaning of my life? What is the purpose of my life? Last Sunday, I had a chance to preach at our sending church. I was given the text, Isaiah 57:15, to preach. A fascinating text of scripture with much Christmas meaning. I want to share it with you. On the screen for you, Isaiah 57:15 says, in the midst of the corruption and idolatry and mass confusion of God's people, the prophet Isaiah speaks a word of comfort and hope. Listen to what he says. He says, for thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. He says, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Amazing. Amazing that this prophecy was not only spoken to the people of Israel, this prophecy finds its fulfillment ultimately in the incarnation. And in Isaiah 57, the text I just read, hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus Christ, the prophet Isaiah predicts that the God who dwells in a high and holy place will also dwell, it means tabernacle with, condescend towards those who are broken and lowly. And in our text today, John 1:14, John records that this high and holy God has actually come, God incarnate, the Word, Jesus Christ, to tabernacle, to dwell with, to come down to those who are broken and lowly. Here's what I want you to understand. This is infinitely meaningful. And this gives our lives immense meaning today. This past week, I had an extremely powerful experience. This past week, I went with one of our Reach the City volunteers to visit one of the buildings that we visit every month. And I was very, very encouraged when I got there. I saw God at work amongst a group of people who live in that building. I was sitting there and they all had coffee in their hand. I got there a bit late, but I joined the table. I sat there and I just was marveling at what I was experiencing. That we had a desire as a church to go into the city and go into the community and bring gospel hope and bring true meaning. And we're doing that this Christmas. And I'm sitting there around the table with these men who clearly God is at work in their hearts. I had a really strong sense of God working there, and I thought, this is awesome. We spent some time together talking about the Lord, and all were contributing, and all were sharing, and they were sharing what God means to them and the things that they're learning, and it was really encouraging. But then the Reach the City volunteer asked me to come up to one of the units upstairs to visit someone who wasn't doing too well. I can't get into all the details, but this elderly man is not doing well at all. I wish I could describe to you the extent of what that means. We were going up in the elevator and Reach the City volunteer warned me and said, you need to, when you get home, you're going to have to make sure you take your clothes off before you get in the house and go right in the shower after we're out of this apartment. You don't bring your clothes in the house. The Reach the City volunteer knocked on the door and we heard a faint voice saying, come in. The door was open. And we walked in, and it was dark. An old man was sitting back facing the door at a table. I can't describe to you the extent of the disaster that I saw. And I was probably there for 5 seconds. To be generous, maybe 8 to 10 seconds. And I ran out of the apartment. Because I was going to vomit. I tried, but I was going to vomit. And to my shame, I ran out of the house, the apartment, and I texted our volunteer. I said, "I'm so sorry. I can't stay there. I can't physically control myself. I'm going to vomit." There was urine all over the floor and feces. And mingled with the smell of cigarette smoke. And the Reach the City volunteer was very kind. And he said, "I'm going to ask him to come to the door because I want you to pray for him." And so he came to the door with his head hanging low, completely destitute. And I prayed for him while I was in the hallway. And we left. And I couldn't believe what I just experienced. And we got downstairs. And as we walked out of the building, the Reach the City volunteer started to cry. I was in a bit of a daze. I was trying to make sense of what just happened. Did I just really run out of the apartment? What was going on? And he started to cry. And do you know what he said? He started to cry and he said, "That's how God sees my sin. That's how disgusting my sin is to God." And he started to cry. He said, "This is how filthy I am to God." And you know what he said? He said, "And God still came to me. He came to me." And we have to keep going to this guy. And I looked up at the building and he said, "There's many units in this building that people are experiencing similar things. People in these units destitute. And we drive by these buildings at least on a weekly basis and we don't realize what is happening inside." I was stunned, but I was gripped. "This is how God sees my sin," my brother said. "And he still came to me." PSW after PSW after PSW will not visit this man because they can't endure the sights and the smell. He is on his own because people simply cannot endure being there. This became a deep burden in my heart for two reasons. First, when this brother said to me, "This is how God sees me, and he came to me," I began to think, never before have I had such a tangible experience, such a physical experience that so vividly illustrated to me the ugliness of my sin and the power of Jesus Christ coming down to enter into my disgusting mess. What I saw and what I smelled and how I ran away, that became for me an illustration. That illustrated for me in a way that I'd never experienced before that Jesus left pre-incarnate glory and he came to my disgusting mess. He came to my disgusting smell. He came to me and he should have ran away. This is God we're talking about. And he came to me. And I've never before been so challenged by the reality and the implications of the incarnation that my life now somehow has meaning and purpose because Jesus Christ took on flesh, entered into my world to identify with me. He left the Holy of Holies and he came to the dirt with the lowly. And it took me 5 seconds to run out of that unit. And Jesus came and lived in the midst of the smell and the filth and the disgust of our sin. And not only did he live a perfect life in the midst of it, that he took all of it upon himself in my place, that it became his burden. On the screen for you, a Ligonier author wrote the following. He wrote, "The incarnation is a deep mystery. For we cannot fully understand how God could take on our humanity without giving up any of his deity. We can, however, understand that the incarnation reveals God's infinite love and grace." Listen, he did not leave us alone in our sin, but entered the misery of this fallen world without becoming a sinner, in order to rescue us from eternal damnation. We will never tire of thanking and praising him for this throughout all eternity. That this is the powerful hope of the incarnation. That God left his pre-incarnate glory and he came to meet us in our filth, to rescue us, to dwell with us, indeed to dwell in us, to give our lives meaning and purpose. And as we'll see throughout this series, just as the Father sends the Son, so the Son sends us into the sin and the mess of this world with a message of incarnation. Hope. You see, loved ones, we have a tendency, we don't think we're as bad as we really are. Sure, I do some things here and there. Sure, I know I'm a sinner, but I'm not that bad. Jesus left pre-incarnate glory, the worship of all of heaven, to come to our filth. We are that filthy. Sin is that filthy. In order that he would wash us clean. And here's the challenge. You want a challenge? Not only are we to worship him and meditate on this beautiful gospel, but here's the challenge. As the Father sends the Son, so the Son sends us. Here's the challenge for you, Christian. Here's the challenge for you with a deep and theologically rich understanding of Scripture. Here's the challenge for you. Are you and I willing to live incarnationally? We're going to talk about this in our final message. Are you and I willing to walk into the mess and the filth and to smell the smells and to see the sights, to bring the hope of the gospel to people who are dying in our city and our community? Are you and I willing? Do we understand the truth of this gospel such that it drives us beyond our comfort? I thought about it as I walked out of that building and I looked on the street. The exit to the building takes me, and then the street is right there. And I looked on the street and I said, how many days do I drive by with my Tim Hortons cup of coffee in my hands? How comfortable I am. How blessed I am. Oh God, forgive me. You came to my smell, my filth, my sin. You came, you did not leave me alone. That's the incarnation. The one who dwells in a high and holy place dwells also with those who are broken and lowly. That's the incarnation. You want a challenge today? Ask God to help you understand this, not only theologically and intellectually, but in a way that helps us to walk into those units and smell the smells and do what we need to do to bring incarnation hope to people who are literally right here, destitute, broken, alone. The lowliest of the city. He who dwells in a high and holy place also dwells with those who are contrite and lowly. May we be a reflection of that incarnation hope to the world around us. That's how you know you understand this theology, is if you're going incarnationally yourself. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you that you come in the incarnation of Jesus Christ to give us incarnation hope. Everybody here looking, longing for a miracle, it's in you. It's in you. And everyone here looking for meaning and purpose, help us to know that it's in you. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This gives meaning to our lives. This gives purpose to our lives. This gives us a reason to live. That you dwelt among us, you dwell in us. And Father, I confess that even as I was in that building, I thought to myself, this is the kind of church we have to be. These are the kind of things we need to be about. This is the passion and the vision we have to promote. That Jesus Christ came to us, incarnation hope. That we, having our deepest needs met in Him, go to a lost and dying world with incarnation hope. I pray, God, you would make us this kind of church. Strengthen us, Lord, for the times we can't smell the smells, the times that we can't endure. Loved ones, I just share this quick moment here with you. I was in the apartment for 5 seconds, and I had my hand over my nose just as I was getting ready to dart out, and I saw the Reach the City volunteer, and he wasn't fazed. He reached towards the man and put his hands on him, and I thought, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? I can't even stand here. And here's this guy. This is not phasing him. And as we left, I said, I just couldn't take the smell. And he said to me, you just can't. You just don't think about it. Don't think about it. God, I pray we'd be a people who have our hearts set on you, our minds fixed on you, our affections captivated by you. Lord, I pray for many, many in our city to be reached with the gospel. This is the church we will be reaching, reaching, reaching. Let it be so. I pray for those here looking for a miracle, longing for a miracle, looking for meaning. I pray they find it. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in Jesus Christ. Let it be so that that happens for us today as well. Let this Christmas season have deep meaning for us like never before, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.